Hello and welcome to the Utah Puck Report. I'm your host, Jay Stevens. Very special guest today. We're excited to have him. A Grizzlies favorite, even though you're not even here anymore, people still talk about you and they sure miss you. It's Travis Howe. Travis, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me here.
Howie, is the as everybody calls you.
Howie.
So I want to start and get to know you, just like, you know, we got to get to know what makes you tick. And to do that, I think we got to get back into the beginning of it and find out, like, what's your first memory of hockey?
I just remember growing up, like, me and my brothers, we all played, and we were always kind of like the better players on the team, which is kind of ironic. The skill guys, as we like to say. But, like, just ripping around and mini-mites, and it'd be me. I mean, even watching my brothers, too, but, like, in my own personal time, it was like I'd have the puck and it'd be nine other people kind of following me, and we'd be the point guys, to say the least. But
this is in Massachusetts.
Back
so
home.
What's the town? Where are you from?
Falmouth, Massachusetts is where I grew up mostly.
Okay.
Yeah. Small. I mean, in the winter time, it's smaller town, like 30,000-40,000, and then summertime, that's when it's like a pretty good like tourist spot in a sense. Some areas anyway. Gets upwards over 100,000 probably in the summer.
So oh, wow, that's huge.
Big turnover, yeah.
It's a huge growth.
Yeah.
All right, so you're younger. How many brothers do you have?
I got two older brothers and an older sister, half-sister.
Okay. And you're the youngest in the family?
I'm the baby, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so were you picked on a little
bit? Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right. See, that's how we find out how you tick.
Yeah, that's for sure.
All right, so you're mini-mites, you're the skill guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's. I always wonder, guys that, you know, that fight, that there's got to be a switch. And we'll talk about that more, too, is that because, man, you messed up a lot of PIMS in the last few years.
Yeah.
And that's probably not what your parents were thinking you were going to do when you're leading the charge.
No.
So you grow up, you play mites, play high school in Massachusetts?
For 2 years. I actually quit hockey in eighth grade, didn't play anything. I was done with all pretty much sports for a while, and then I started playing I started back playing my junior year in high school. A couple of my like old buddies who I grew up playing with, before the junior year started, they were saying like they needed, like they were going to be pretty good, but they like needed a defenseman anyway. And like I grew up playing D most of my life, so I'm actually a better hockey player at defense, but just sometimes the boots are a little too slow for that now, like especially with some of the speed guys nowadays. But yeah, and then they had me or convinced me to come out to a couple like captain's practices, and so and then my first one I was like, all right, I'm playing again. Like this is
well, high school hockey in Massachusetts is pretty good.
Yeah, there's some pretty good teams.
So to take a couple years off and be able to go back, I mean that's got to show your skill level at the time. I mean you definitely had the skill, right? The natural ability.
Yeah, I was still like pretty decent, I guess. To a point, like I was more of a stay-at-home defenseman, or kind of like, I guess at the time, and obviously physical. I've always been a physical player, just because of like my size and my brothers as well. Like we're all pretty big boys, and like, so yeah, we were always pretty physical, no matter what level we played at, or until we started, we're able to hit anyway. And then, like especially like high school, and then like for a bit, like when we got older, playing midgets anyway, like guys would want to take the run at the big guy, and that's how kind of. That would usually start, and then then high school was my junior year. I actually played D, and then my senior year I played forward. Towards the end of my senior year, I went back and played D, like because we had a pretty solid team and we were making a run for it in states, and we were kind of I guess weaker on the back end, so towards the end of the year I went back and just I guess did what I could.
Okay.
But
and how did you guys how far did you go in the state playoffs your senior year?
It was our, I think, second round. We went on. We lost to Milton, 2-1. Our starting goalie actually got kicked off our team, just for like off ice reasons and like school, like grades and all that stuff and some other issues. But so we had our backup who wasn't the best goalie, and he had like severe ADD. He was just kind of like all over the place, and PD Negri's his name, unreal kid. But then he played the best game I've ever seen anybody play. Like he made saves where it's like a backdoor easy tap, and he's throwing a stick back, and it hits a stick and goes up in the netting. It's like saves like that where shouldn't be made, and he was making them, and he definitely kept that a game. But they had scored with I think it was like 52 seconds left or something stupid like that to go up 2-1 in the third period, and it was a dagger for sure.
All right, so you'd already kind of quit hockey at one time, and now you're finishing your senior year. You're out in the playoffs. It's an immediate finish. That's one of the craziest things, is that you don't know if you're going to play another game, and then all of a sudden it's over. What makes you decide to go on?
Honestly, at the time, like I didn't think I was going to play. Like I didn't really kind of going through like other stuff away from the rink, and I wasn't like. Me and my brothers weren't like the quote unquote like hockey players growing up. Like we just kind of played all the sports and whatnot. And then, I ended up. My brother had played up in Moncton the year prior in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. And after that, so the coach from that team ended up getting in touch with me over the summer. He wanted me to like go to camp up there to start my junior career in a sense. And at the time, I couldn't because I was living with my grandmother at the time, and she was like real sick and whatnot. But so I told him, I was like, I can't really go to camp when it started, just because I was like living with my grandmother. And then after she had passed, I was able to go. But this was like September, like early September, I think, at the time. And his son, the coach in Moncton's son, his name is Brad. Danny Flynn was the coach in Moncton, but his son just stopped playing. And his first year coaching was up in Manitoba. Never heard of Manitoba in my life. And Swan River, Manitoba. I love that place to this day.
Yep.
And the Swan Valley Stampeders was my introduction to junior hockey, and just kind of stayed in love with it, I guess, in a first sense, to keep
playing. I don't know how I didn't see this. I honestly didn't realize that you played in the Manitoba Junior League.
I loved it there.
I played there too. There's crazy. A bunch of Utahns that played there, which is kind of funny. It was like the only thing.
There's a lot of like Midwestern guys I would find that would play in that league, for like Americans anyway, that would play up there. So it was pretty funny.
Oh, that's cool. It's funny. I have all your stats right in front of me, and I've gone over them, and I saw where you jumped from high school, and then I saw your stint in the queue, but I never saw the MJ. So that's funny.
That was the first year.
I was a Cirrus Elk.
Really?
I hear they don't exist anymore. And then I spent a minute with the Brandon Stingers.
Okay.
Played out of the same building as the Wheat Kings.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's kind of funny. So that's crazy, because I'm telling you, even... like, this is 2012-2013, and you have kids doing everything they can to get coaches' attention to make teams and begging to be in leagues like this, and you got guys calling you saying, come to camp. If you can't make it on time, then we'll still find a way to work in.
Yeah.
That's got to be cool. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have to, I guess... give my brother some credit for that, because he's like, we were the same player. He's a tough guy. He's the biggest savage I've ever met, in my personal opinion. I mean, biased, obviously, he's my brother, but they obviously knew who he was because he played there, and at the time he was I mean, not many guys really picked fights with him in the queue and whatnot, so they just figured that. And like, I at the time, like, I didn't really like, I knew that like I was gonna have to fight to like kind of keep going if I wanted to keep, which I obviously still don't have a problem with that. But I just didn't know how to play the role yet. Like I just came from high school straight into junior, so like I just saw it on TV growing up. Like I never knew like what like the actual role, like the what it had to do with, or like how to do it essentially. And I'm still learning, but it definitely took me a couple of years to try and figure it out. Just figured that that's what I was
they,
like.
They
was
brought
like,
you in to be the enforcer.
Yeah, pretty much.
So had you fought in midgets or high school?
I mean, I've had my fair share off the ice for sure growing up, and then like against like fight my brothers way too many times growing up, just getting.
Right.
Picked on, and I mean, I kind of just learned to take a beating before I could do anything before that, because, like, I mean, I've never won a fight against my brothers. I mean, there have been maybe one that was somewhat close, and I came out of there with, like, two closed eyes and big old gash on the top of my head, so, like, I it wasn't really that close in a sense. So, like,
so when is your first hockey fight?
My first hockey fight. I mean, I guess with like gloves off and helmets off, would have been like a summer league tilt. I think going into my before the summer prior to going into my first year juniors. I forget the team we were playing. I think we were in Foxborough, Mass. My brother was actually there, and I remember I fought the kid on the ice because he had cross-checked me in the face, and then I kind of gave him one back, and then we dropped our gloves, and I like one-punched him, and he went down, and then we got off the ice, and this is like 2 seconds before the first intermission, and then the kid comes storming down the hallway, and like I was in the locker room at the time, the kid's yelling, and it was just me and my brother in there at the time, and then we're like, is that him? And my brother like pokes his head out, and he's like, yeah, the kid's actually like coming down the hallway. He's like, what do you want to do? And we both kind of looked at each other, and he just like opens the door, and I go out the door, and I ended up scrapping the kid in the hallway. And I think I tuned him up pretty well. And then obviously I was done for the tournament then, but that was probably my first, yeah, I think that was my first memory of a hockey fight that actually turned into an off-ice fight, which was...
I don't know of many that rekindle in the hallway. I mean, a lot of them, once you fight, yeah, it's over. But
yeah.
Okay, so you have your first fight before juniors. You get into juniors, and you know that's what they're going to expect of you. Manitoba is a rough league.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the main...
Big old farm boys out there.
Yeah, and a bunch of reservation natives, kids. Yeah, natives. Yep.
Those are the toughest I've ever fought. Like, those guys are... I hit them 20 of your hardest shots, and they're sitting there smiling at you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that was pretty frustrating up there.
That's where I had my first hockey fight. Yeah. I learned that I really shouldn't fight. But all right, so that's just crazy to me that your first one ends up in the hallway too. Because you've got history. You've got more stories with that too, right? You've got. Didn't you have one with the Grizzlies that ended up in the hallway too?
I was not in the hallway. It was actually on the other team's bench. But nobody threw a punch. I got mauled by the two linesmen and a couple of my teammates, which I was kind of, I mean, in hindsight, I mean, I'm glad obviously nothing escalated to where it needed to happen. But at the time I was upset with a few of my guys for like pulling me away. And I'm like, in a situation like that, and I start doing that, I'm like, you grab somebody and start hitting them, and I'm going to grab somebody and start hitting them, and let's just turn this into a party. But looking in hindsight, I definitely, I'm glad it didn't kind of turn into that, because that 9-game suspension would have been friggin' 30, if I'm guessing, the way that this league likes to punish me. So.
Yeah, so, and but you weren't, were you dressed for that game?
Or no.
You were in a suit.
I was scratched, yeah. I was...
How does a guy go from, I wanted to talk about this later, but let's just get it out now. How does a guy go from a suit and in the stands during the game to on the opposing team's bench in a scrap?
So like we were losing that game. It was probably 4-5-1 maybe. And there was like 2 minutes left, and the scratch guys were up in the box. So like we weren't going to come back, and we had gone back down just into the locker room, and there's the clock in the locker room that had got hit zero, so the game's over. And I hear the fans going nuts. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, it's obviously a fight. So I just kind of walked down the tunnel, and at the time I had zero, wasn't planning on doing anything stupid. I just wanted to watch the fight. And who was it? There was the brawl down at their end, down in the corner by the where the Zamboni doors are, and I think it was Mitch Jones. He was fighting Mitch Moroz, actually, who I didn't really care for too much playing against him. And so, like, at the end of every game, win or lose, your home rink, you go to the middle, you tap your sticks to the fan. That's just, like, I feel like that's just, like, every rink in minor hockey for, like, the home team. Like, you always do that. So, like, after the brawl happened, our team's going to the middle to tap their sticks, and Moroz is screaming like, get the F off the ice, like, you guys are clowns, blah, blah, blah. And then I saw that, so I couldn't really keep my mouth shut. And then I told him what I thought he was and what I think of him and his team. And I was like, I wasn't like on their bench yet. I'd like kind of just slowly walked down to like where the benches meet, and then he called me a name that, like, I just when I'm mad and somebody calls me, I just kind of went off, and then I went onto their bench and I was kind of charging down like at him, and then the little
then everybody jumped in.
Well, the guy that he gets on the bench, and as I'm coming down, like chirping him, like clearly trying to fight him, he gets back on the ice. And then, like, I'm, like, three quarters away down the bench, and I think one of the lineys, I forget which one, because I had really good relationships. I always have good relationships with most refs and linesmen just because, like they like to see fights and stuff. So, like, how are you going to get into one tonight and stuff like that. So, like, we'd like, joke with each other. But one of the lineys, like, came like, Superman flying over the bench and, like, kind of tackled me. And then another one came in, grabbed me, and then they're I forget, it was like two guys on our team had kind of pulled me back from behind, and then their coach, Neil Graham, was a really good guy.
Yep.
He played with my oldest brother years and years ago, so like I always had like a mutual respect. I hated his team, but like I still to this day, I think he's a stand-up dude, and then he was kind of like in my face, like telling, like kind of getting the trying to calm me down, saying it was like him and how he calm down, blah blah blah. And at that point, the assistant coach, who I'm not a fan of, Sheehan, like he was yelling at his guys to, and they all kind of scurried down the tunnel, like back in the, and then I got back on our bench and went back down our tunnel, and then I kind of knew something was coming. I just didn't think
get the phone call from the league.
Pretty much. Actually, that one I didn't have to talk to anybody for that one. The one I got this past year, I had to talk to.
All right, we'll talk about this year more. All right, so you play Manitoba, and that's where a lot of guys just go, and that's the end of it for most guys. But you kept going. You ended up in the NA after that.
I went from the Manitoba, and I had a real short stint in the queue, and then went down to the Maritimes. I loved it out there too. In Nova Scotia, and then my last year juniors, I was down in Corpus Christi, Texas, in the NA. That was a treat.
Yeah,
it's like a vacation year round. It's you're in shorts, t-shirts in the middle of winter, going to the beach, fishing, hanging out. Like
not typical hockey guy stuff.
Yeah. No, absolutely not.
We were just talking about that a minute ago. Just talking about with Arizona State having an NCAA Division I nationally ranked program on one of the biggest party campuses in the world. And then can you imagine being like, you know, or you being from Massachusetts or some Manitoba farm kid going,
yeah,
wait a minute, I can go live here and wear flip-flops and shorts year-round and just go to the rink and not have to freeze?
And hang out at pool parties during the day after practice all day. Yeah, no, that would be a treat for sure.
All right, so Corpus Christi, and then at some point you decide you're going to go pro.
Yeah.
Was that you, or were you getting phone calls?
Well, in Corpus, like I met some really, really great people down there, and our owner was like an oil field guy. That's where he got that's where his money came from, and I was actually contemplating quitting and going into the oil field, and I still make way more money than I do now. Not even close. And but it's like that's just a grind, and
right.
I just still wanted to play. So I after that I was gonna go to Huntsville in the SP for a camp, just like a PTO, and then my oldest brother actually signed in Berlin, like where we both started, or where I started anyway, in the Federal Hockey League. And the fun hockey league, I like to call it. And then like a couple weeks before camp, my brother couldn't go, like couldn't start playing due to some other stuff. And then so I had called the Huntsville guy back. I'm like, hey, like do you mind if you still got that spot? And he's just like, buddy, it's you get 2 weeks before camp, 3 weeks before camp, like that spot's been filled. And so I was like, whatever, I'll just go start in the Fed and then see where that goes. And started there, played I think 6 games, got called up for 6 games to Mississippi, then got sent back for like a weekend, and then I got sent back on like a Thursday. I played Friday in Port Huron, Michigan, and then I flew into Detroit. Someone picked me up to go to Port Huron, played that night, and Friday, Saturday we were back home in Berlin, New Hampshire against Port Huron, and it's like a 15-16 hour drive, I think, that turned into like a 22-hour drive. Like, we didn't start our game until 9:30. Like, it was our bus broke down twice.
Oh yeah,
it was. Just, I mean, that's just standard in that league. It's like if your bus doesn't break down, I feel like on the way to a road trip, like there's something wrong. Like there's something wrong in the bigger picture. So, but I loved it there. I still have my roommates that I had there. I still talk to them all the time, and they're still really good buddies. So
sometimes that grind makes you even better friends, right?
Those
leagues.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So man, 246 mini PEMs in the NA, and then back and forth in the SP. You had, you know, you're still racking up PEMs, and then when do you get the call to go? When do you know you're going to the coast?
That was, so after my first year was like, I was like the Fed year, and then the SP, I kind of split. And then I got called up to Macon, like the weekend before Christmas break. And that was kind of like my, I guess in a sense, like my coming out party. Cause like I had fought three times in Mississippi, like had a couple good ones. But not like I beat one kid up, I guess. And then the other two were pretty even. And then, nobody really fight me in the Fed. Fed was, I mean, it's not like how it used to be where it's just a goon league. But what was it? So I had played there. And then once I got up to Macon, I had played Fayetteville my first weekend, and I had fought, they had like one of the tougher guys in the league, Drobot, it was a real good dude. We fought three times in those two games, and in the last fight I like put him to sleep, and that was kind of like, okay, I kind of figured I wasn't really going anywhere after that, because he's been around a while, he was, not many guys would fight him, so I figured I'm tuning this guy up, then that just kind of put me, I guess, on the map in a sense, and whatnot. And then I finished out that year with Macon, and then the coach there, who's actually friends with who I play for now in Greenville, he's friends with Tim, so they had like, they were at like a summer, like a hockey school or something like that in the summer together, and they were talking, and Tim just asked what if he had any players like me, and so then that's kind of how that came about. But like I didn't even bring winter clothes with me. Like I didn't bring, like when I came to camp, I was like, because Macon's down south, so I had all shorts, t-shirts, like I think maybe two sweatshirts, if that, because I didn't think there was a shot in hell I'd make it. So I was a little shocked, but it was good when I I made it out of camp. And it was like, and like we were talking about earlier, like I like have a lot of respect for Tim, because like he obviously gave me that shot that at the time nobody else did, and then. Like he was honest with me the first, like until I knew that I really wasn't going anywhere. Like especially in the beginning of the year, he was always like, "Hey, like I can't promise you tomorrow, a week, a month, or like Christmas, the rest of the year, I can't promise you anything. Just like keep doing what you're doing, keep working hard, keep playing your role." And he's just like, obviously, hopefully things will work out, and things kind of, I guess, definitely did work out.
They definitely did seem to work out for you, and then you stay in Utah for two seasons. And again, season one, 234 minutes in penalties.
Yeah.
And but you mentioned it earlier that you're learning the role. Tell me about that. How do you realize what you have to do as a fighter? Because it's more than just going out and fighting somebody.
Yeah, oh yeah, way more.
There's unwritten rules. There's ways to approach the game. There's a time and a place.
Yeah.
Like, how do you learn that?
Well, I guess the time and the place was the thing that I've... And, like, when I first got to Utah, like... I guess in a sense, like when you're kind of a no name coming up to a new league, and that kind of the rules about like when to do it, when it's smart, when it's not, like in a sense, in my mind, and I know a lot of other guys like me's mind that like that doesn't really matter. Like when I'm here, like I obviously know what I need to do. So like any chance I get to fight a sap or like a tough or a heavyweight on another team, like I'm doing it. I don't care what the situation is, just because I want to like prove myself. And prove to not only the guy who I'm fighting, but like the rest of the league that like, hey, like I'm kind of here to stay. Like I'm not like, it's like you guys can chirp and tell me I don't belong here all I want, but like when the gloves come off, like I, like trust me, I'm not like you're not just gonna like roll over me by any means. So,
and that's probably something that a lot of people don't know is that when you get pulled up into the East Coast League, I was there for a few of your first games. Yeah. I remember. And when you go from the SP to the the East Coast League, of course everybody's gonna chirp and
land here
and just be like, oh, can you even turn left?
I've had some good ones, good chirps on me for sure.
But I mean, so for the general fan, they see a guy that gets pulled up and puts on the uniform and belongs there. As far as they know, they don't know all the stuff that you've had to do in the past, and that every day you're out there proving yourself. And then as a fighter, and I've got a really good friend that's made a living of it. The funny thing is, he's got his undergrad and his MBA from Princeton.
Yeah.
Like one of the smartest dudes I know.
Yeah.
But in the NHL, he was a fighter. Yeah. And he told me, he's like, you know the time, you know what your job is.
Yeah.
But you also assume a, like an ownership of the team. Like he's like, I felt like a lot of those players were my brothers or my kids or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was more than just, I was going to fight to motivate the team.
Yeah.
He took it personal when somebody hit somebody behind a play or hit one of his guys. And he said he had a hard time turning that switch off. Once he was a fighter, he was a fighter. And he had a hard time turning the switch off.
Yeah.
Like, he knew that there was a role to play, but he also just wanted to beat up everybody that touched his guys.
Yeah. No, he's not wrong. Is it Peros?
Yeah.
Princeton guy? Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's tough as they come for sure.
He's so smart too.
I can't relate on that level. Definitely didn't go to Princeton, but yeah, no, I mean, it's spot on. Like I was just talking because I was just back in Greenville because like I was talking, I had to get cleared for my injury from last year, but I was staying with my equipment manager and stuff, and we were just kind of talking about last year and. How I thought I did and whatnot, and because like I last year I got a chance to like actually play, and like I was put on the first line. I was even put back on D a couple times, and
really?
I was, and like the game, just hockey was easy, and like out east it's a little bit softer, like not as much physicality. So like when I was on D, it was the easiest hockey in my life because no one would go near me. Like guys wouldn't finish check on the forecheck, like. Guys wouldn't, I think I got hit like once and I played D for four games and the hit was from Garrett Hunt and me and him were buddies. So like but what you were saying or how like Peros was saying about how he took like offense to everything. So like my biggest problem was like, it's like when I see a guy on my team and goes out and like fights to answer a bell or like fights to stand up for a teammate, like I get mad at my teammate for that because I'm like, that's not your fight. That's not your job. That's my job. Like, and even in situations where like I'm playing a lot, putting in minutes, like, and playing in like big situations, like I still can't. I feel like that's never going to change because it's like I don't know if it's just like a loyalty thing or just like it even like goes back to like growing up and it's the same with like my brothers with their friends. It was like if any of my friends had problems, it's like well. I know that I'm definitely more capable of like handling it than you are. So like I got it, which also got me in a lot of trouble looking back. So like definitely probably wasn't the smartest thing to do, but yeah, I have that same problem. And I know a lot of other guys do. It's a weird thing,
right? Yeah. There's a, I guess you'd call it a dichotomy there because you got to fight, but you also got to know that sometimes you're out there and you said, you're actually getting to play hockey now.
Yeah.
You're on the first line. They don't want you to drop the gloves on the first line. They want you to set somebody up or get an assist or you know, go grind and get your main guy up.
That's what my coach this past year would always get, like when I'd fight on the road, he's like, we don't sell tickets in the other, like the away team's ranks. It's like, you don't need to go fight. I mean, there are situations where like if I was standing up for a teammate, he wouldn't say anything.
Right.
But like if I'm, like there are guys where I either A, haven't fought or like I fought before and I know that they're savages and I know I have like we have mutual respect, so like push comes to shove, we play against each other, like at one point we're probably just gonna scrap just because like it's in our nature, I guess. Like I just don't feel like comfortable going through a whole game when I know there's like a heavyweight on the other team who's willing to fight. And, like, we don't fight. It's just, like, weird. Because, like, you just, the nerves, like, before the games leading up and then, like, throughout the whole game, like, the nerves are still there. It's like, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? So, like, I'd rather just get it out of the way. And and stuff like that. So like I don't know. But my coach would, he definitely he wouldn't get like mad at me by any means, but he'd chirp me a bit and like, buddy, like we sell tickets at our fight, at our bar. Like, you want to fight somebody, do it at home.
And yeah, but at the same yeah. point, I mean, you sell tickets at your arena, and if their fighter came in and didn't fight you there, that's
and that's like what you were saying about like unwritten rules. Like, there are times where like, if I don't need to give a guy a fight, but like I give a guy a fight because he needs one or something.
Yeah.
And next time, like, we play against each other or 10 minutes later in the game and I need one and you say no, it's like, okay, well, like, now I'm going to make it, like, your whole team suffer because, like, you just kind of screwed me.
Yeah.
And now your best players are now going to get hit way harder and way more because, not even by me, just because, like, I've had, I feel like guys, like, pick up on that kind of thing, too.
For sure, yeah.
So, like, they kind of respond. I mean, some guys, anyway, more the physical players more than anything, but... But yeah, I don't know.
So who is your who's your fighting rival? Do you have like one guy that you know you're gonna fight every time on the coast?
I don't know. I mean, I guess like a lot of the time, like me and Hunt had fought. I think we fought like 9 or 10 times over the last like 3 years.
Garrett Hunt?
Yeah.
Where's he playing though?
He actually just signed a 2-year deal over in the KHL.
Oh, okay.
And I couldn't be more happier for the guy because he's not gonna fight as much and like.
Yeah.
That guy for the last decade, for being how small he is
small.
Has fought in the biggest, toughest guys 20 plus, 30 plus times a year.
Yeah.
And I don't care who you are, and if you don't have, I know a lot of guys don't have respect for the way he plays because he definitely plays with an edge.
Yeah.
With a big edge, but like for a guy that small, you have to, right? Like you have to.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree. I'm surprised that he fought you. I've been there, and I was also. I was on the team, and then you guys went on the road, and they picked up another goalie on the road into Stockton. And I don't know if you had to go, but when Garrett ran Stofflet from behind. And I think
that was in Alaska. That was
Alaska. It was Alaska.
That ended Stoff's season. Yeah, I mean, Hunt literally fought that next shift because I wasn't on the ice. And it was a corner.
That's right.
Stoff was like pucking his feet in the corner. And I mean, it was a... I think he got away with the clean hit because of his size and like, but he definitely took like a lengthy run at Stoffs, and Stoffs had like his head down, getting the puck out of his feet, and he put a good hit on him. But yeah, I mean, just stuff like that, that's how guys definitely lose respect for him. But at the same time, like me being in the same role as him, it's like I get it. You definitely have to play with that edge because like. If you just kind of fight and you're just like, you don't really play hard, you don't hit, like, you fight, but you're like ineffective. And if you're like not knocking everybody out in your fights or like beating the wheels off everybody, then like nobody's going to be scared of you. No one's going to be scared to play against you.
Right.
No one's going to be scared to be on the ice with you. And like, that's essentially at the end of the day, like, that's what you want. Like, you want guys to, like, when they come into your rink and
stuff. You want them to know every time you touch the ice.
Yeah. And just like guy, even prior to like coming on the road trip, it's like, damn, we gotta play Greenville like that. And like that was like a problem I thought we had last year at times. We worked really hard, but like we weren't like hard to play against in a sense at times. But I think this year is gonna be way different. We're gonna have some really good players on top of like some big size gritty guys who it's gonna be. I think that's gonna be if guys are gonna. Say that pretty much when they come into Greenville this year, and that kind of like makes me a little happier.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit just to wrap things up here, because a lot of the Utah fans don't know what happened. Why are you no longer a Utah Grizzly? You were kind of telling me the story, and obviously you got traded, and there's nothing you can do about it. But tell me about the lead up to that, or whatever you can say. I mean, like
everyone knows I got traded. Now, like, I didn't want to go by any means. I loved it here, but at the end of the day, like, it's a business, so, like, I mean, you look at the NHL, like, this is the National Hockey League, and guys are getting traded, and they're making $5 million, like, a year, $10 million a year, so, like, I'm just some, like, peasant on the coast, I can't really get too, like, mad about it, because, like, the new affiliation, obviously, with Colorado, and I think, Colorado had their eyes on Herbert, pretty well, and I mean rightfully so, guy's a top five player in the league, so And then my coach, who's obviously my coach now, I played for him prior when I was in Macon. He was the last coach I played for in the SP, and he got the job in Greenville. And I guess the day that he got the job, he called Utah, and they didn't obviously go through with it right away. But I think with Herbert signing I forget if he was on a one-way or a two-way deal last year, but with him signing there, they wanted to see, because a lot of teams, like when you sign a guy to a two-way, their affiliate wants you to trade for him. That just happens usually a couple right. times every year.
And for people that don't understand that, so if you get a two-way contract, that means you have an NHL or an AHL deal and an East Coast deal. So you have a one-way, which means just NHL, yeah. two-way, which means NHL, AHL, or three-way, which means the coast. And that means, so if you're all of a sudden property of the Colorado Avalanche, they would like you to, your rights to be
yeah,
in all
the
three
affiliation,
leagues.
Yeah. And then, or like if they just signed like the American League deal, then they want your East Coast affiliation
yeah.
with Utah. So that was, I think that definitely had a big role in it. And so I think over time they obviously talked a bit and figured out a trade. But I think the only way that like my coach was going to give the Herbert guy up was if I was part of that deal. So I mean, yeah, like I said, like look at, like at the time I was upset, but like I mean, I was like looking back now, it's like from the way I play and like where I came from, in a sense, like I like to be part of a deal with a player like Herbert, I was like, I mean, it's kind of funny.
Right.
To me, a little confidence booster, I guess, but like personally it worked out, like in like for me in my own career. Like to start last season, I got a camp invite to Charlotte, played a preseason game there, got sent back down to Greenville, like played really good hockey the first half of the year. I ended up getting called up to Tucson, and that was like a dream come true. I'd never, I mean, a couple years ago, I never thought I'd be playing hockey ever again, let alone playing in the American League. So that was pretty cool. And then got sent back a little bit before Christmas, and then second half of the year was a little tough one for me last year, just with like suspensions and injuries and stuff. But looking to be completely healthy this year.
So this is your year. This will be
I'm
your
hoping.
Year. Healthy, no suspensions.
yeah, that's one of my goal for this year is to, because they put a new like fight rule in, and so you're only at like, a 10 fight limit
for the season.
Yeah, which. Like their reasoning, the league's reasoning is to get rid of like the sucker punches and jumpings and all that stuff, which I'm all for. But like, because I was like part of, like I was our team rep for our union this year, and we got to have like a conversation about it with the player safety guy and our commissioner. And like, we were kind of arguing for like, well, okay, if you're going to like put these rules in, then like, let's get two refs. Like it,
right?
And they were just, oh, we can't
afford that.
Yeah, and I'm like,
so bad. They need to find a way to afford two refs.
Yeah,
that.
And then the guys, oh, well, be more professional then. But I'm like, well, I don't just like sucker punch people for no reason. I don't just jump a guy for no reason. So I don't know, but we'll see. We'll see how that works out. But the good thing with this year, we got a couple other guys on my team who are more than happy to drop the gloves. So that'll take a little. I mean, hopefully, take a little stress off me. But I still doubt I'll. I still doubt I'll have those same reactions of getting mad at guys for fighting, but yeah, I don't know.
Well, Matt, I'll tell you what, we're super excited to see what happens for you. And like I said, you're a crowd favorite here, and I've said it to other guys that were former Grizzlies that have come through here. People want to know what's going on with you. Once they love you, they always love you.
Yeah.
You'll always be a Utah Grizzly to us, and when you come back and play against us, you know, there'll be fans that are cheering for you. We'll be cheering for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I always appreciated the way you played.
Yeah, thank you.
You always called me Mr. Stevens in the locker room, which is nothing makes me feel older. Everybody else just calls me or doesn't talk to me, and they're calling me Mr. Stevens like I'm the coach.
That's probably my dad's
PE
fault.
The PE teacher. But man, you're a great guy, and I loved hearing your story, and I'm excited for your season this year. And I just want to thank you for coming on the show.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's Travis Howe. And if you want to keep hearing stuff like this and you want to hear all the things that are going on with Utah hockey, Utah Grizzlies, we're going to be talking college hockey. We're going to be talking high school hockey. We've got it all. We're going to cover the junior A teams, the Western States teams that are here. All you got to do is subscribe. Just text the word PUCK to 57500 or jump on kslsports.com and look under podcasts, and that's how you find the Utah Puck Report.